All right.
Okay.
Here we go. I'm actually excited for today's show.
Me too.
For once in my fucking life.
I've been looking forward to it as well.
Yeah.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
Okay.
Yeah, because I feel like we actually have stuff to talk about.
Oh, are you through?
To complain about.
Are you ready?
Don't talk to the dog.
Okay.
The show has begun. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, we have lots of things, and I wrote them all in my telephone, which is currently recording us right now, so I can't access it. But I think I remember.
Okay.
Number one, Chris D'Elia apologized.
Oh, I forgot about Chris D'Elia.
Yeah.
Yeah, his apology was hilarious. He came on, he was like, look, I want to apologize to my friends and family and fans for getting too much pussy. I get too much pussy.
It's a real problem.
It's a real problem. People like sucking my dick.
I'm getting my dick sucked right now.
Right.
I can't help it. And I'm actively working on it.
And
it's
know
a process.
That's what people are mad at me about. Not leaving enough pussy for the rest, for being in the upper 1% of pussy getters. And I just want to apologize. I'm going to try to give back. I'm trying to donate some of my pussy to the less fortunate.
Pay it forward.
He just talked for 9 minutes about how much ass he gets.
He really did. I don't know. With Chris D'Elia, we all just don't like him in general, right? That's how I feel. So by the end of that, I was like, wait, what is he even apologizing for? I didn't think.
I don't know. As usual, I didn't do any research. I saw somebody tweet out that he solicited nudes from a teenager, but then like the person that tweeted it out is known to exaggerate.
Okay.
You know, is one of these people that really benefits from this kind of thing happening. You know,
teenager,
their Twitter blows up.
Could also be 18 or 19. So they may have just been saying he's a fucking creep, which is true, but not technically. You know what? I mean, the age of consent exists, meaning somebody wrote down, guys, you can fuck 18-year-olds.
Yeah.
Like, they wrote that down in the law books. You can fuck 18-year-olds.
Isn't that funny?
It's weird.
Over here, pedophile. Like, over here.
Yeah. Just this line. Like, it's...
Mid 1159, pedophile. 1201. It's all right.
It's totally fine.
Yeah.
So, like, it is fucking weird that he's in his 40s fucking 18-year-olds. It's morally and even just, like, not even
is
morally.
Is that what he was
just
doing?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he was, like, very specifically, ugh, I don't know this for sure, but I think when he was in a state where 17 was the age of consent, he would fuck a 17-year-old.
Oh.
So, like.
Okay.
He was
not a good look. Yeah.
Yeah. But when you apologize, like he apologized, like he had this addiction that
right.
like he got a DUI.
It's, and by the way, we are on record as well, A, saying that Chris D'Elia sucks. So I don't want people to come out and be like, oh, he sucks now that he's in trouble.
No.
You weren't saying that beforehand. We are on record months ago. We watched his special and it was dog shit. I just want to say that. We're on record saying that.
Yeah.
We're also on record saying that it's obnoxious when people pick apart apologies, but this was fucking obnoxious.
Oh, yeah.
This is the dumbest apology
of
all time.
I don't think he should have apologized. Like, because you don't, what are you even apologizing for?
Hmm. Well,
what?
I mean,
what?
I think, I'm joking, but like, I think he doesn't know, clearly.
Exactly. That was the thing. That's like, if you're going to do this, do it, but. You didn't technically, like, you didn't, the Louis thing is obvious, like, we can have a conversation and a debate about what's appropriate and what's not, but he was just having sex. Like, it was, we don't have any details on, like.
See, I thought, and again, I didn't do any research, and I don't think
you
did either, but I think
at
some point somebody was underage or something, you know?
But then he would be, I don't think this apology would exist. He said twice,
consensual.
At least twice, that everything he did was legal and consensual.
Okay, so he said legal.
Yeah,
right,
he said legal.
All right, well, I don't fucking know, but I just think the apology is so funny. I think it's hilarious to reframe your pussy getting skills as being victimized, you know?
Yeah,
and this is something
now,
I've struggled with, getting
right.
my dick sucked,
exactly.
And, you know?
He was having such a hard time getting laid so
it's
much.
It's so funny to picture what was happening to him. Like, he's in a big hotel bed with three women and, you know, just fucking and sucking. And then to reframe it later in front of a camera, all serious and buttoned up. And it's like, and I've struggled in the past. It's like, it was, with one.
That was what was so annoying about it. Like you said, I hate picking apart apologies, but like, you didn't even really do any. As far as we know, the knowledge and information that everybody has right now, all he did was have sex. Yeah. So pretending that he's like so remorseful for nothing, yeah, and that like he's having a hard time with it and it's something he's working on.
Yeah, and it was a brag so, wrapped in an apology. Yeah. You know, it's like, I don't, everywhere I go, I do it a show and my it. DMs blow up.
I would
up.
Have, at the second I got off stage, I would have at least 50 messages in my inbox and I would answer every single one of them. It's like, cool, good job.
Like, I've cheated on everybody I've ever dated. I've cheated on my current fiance. It's like,
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah. Poor guy. He's had it rough.
Yeah. I just think his comedy sucks. So I don't care as much what happens to him.
Yeah, we don't care about your sex life.
Yeah. But also, no.
What?
I just don't know. I don't know what the issue is, to be honest. Like I said, I get.
What do you? Okay.
I get why it's fucking weird.
Did you do any research for this episode?
So did you do any meeting?
That's my fucking point, loser. I'm saying, like, I don't know. So I don't want to be out here like, Chris D'Elia did nothing wrong.
No,
and it's
know
like
that.
He's fucking everybody at a baby shower.
What? Why a baby shower?
I don't know. First birthday? Is that better? Wherever there's babies.
The roller rink?
Yeah, the roller rink, I guess, is
daycare?
All right. Daycare is good. The okay. Discovery Zone.
He's
did
at
you have
the
that?
Discovery Zone.
Is that regional?
He's
the Chuck
doing,
E. Cheese.
He's doing afternoon shows at the Discovery
yeah,
Zone.
Yeah. I mean, he does do baby comedy, though. So
yeah.
That's
and
what
I think,
getting,
honestly,
that's what you're going to get.
I think mentally he's a baby.
Yeah.
He wears like...
Isn't that a funny defense? I'd be like, I have to fuck 18-year-olds. I'm stupid. Yeah, I'm 50,
like,
but
I have the
I
IQ,
have the IQ
of a 17-year-old.
I have the IQ of like a barely legal, like big-titted
nubile
bimbo.
I wear bedazzled jeans. I have to
right.
Fuck teenagers.
That's the only ones that'll
I'm
have
stunted.
Me.
Stunted.
Judge. What a great excuse. Yeah, sure, there's an age gap, but yeah, that's because of, you know,
right,
my disorder.
Exactly. That's a pretty good defense.
And then, like, intellectuals have to fuck old wrinkly bitches.
Oh, yeah, because they're so smart.
Yeah.
You
have, they
have
experience.
To,
and
yeah, you have to fuck somebody who's, like, your
just men everywhere hitting themselves in the head with a hammer.
But then you go too far.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
I had something else to say about him, but I don't remember. It doesn't matter. What I was going to say is I did do research when it first came out. I really did. I read all of the articles about what he was being accused of. And beyond any rumors beyond what's been published, he literally, legally did not do anything.
I guess we did talk about this already.
So that's why this whole like controversy was so confusing. It was like, look, I hate his guts, so I don't really care. Just on like, not on like a personal level, just like, I don't like him. But he didn't do...
Yeah.
It's such a like hard stance to say.
Yeah.
To really concretely
say. No, I know
say,
what you mean. You
but...
can't go after people you don't like... You know, you can't make shit up.
But
I feel that way about
the backlash,
Trump a lot of times.
Well, yeah.
He sucks, but the thing you're accusing him of, you're also guilty of, or he didn't do, or something.
Yeah.
Not in every case, but on occasion that happens, and you hear some pundit talking, and it's like, your point is bullshit. We know that you don't like the guy. Just say you don't like the guy. Say the things that he actually did do, but people don't do that because they're usually also making money off of their, you know... their position in office or whatever.
And you get your emotions wrapped up in like, you could so easily go, I hate that guy, so
yeah,
let's get
him. Like the impeachment thing was hours and hours of Democrats going up there and like crying and talking about their trauma and how horrible it was for them. And I mean, you're kind of sympathetic because some of them had some pretty heinous stories. Like one guy had his family there and his family got caught up in it. And it was it seemed pretty brutal. But it's like, and I'm not making a call one way or another what should have happened, if he should have been impeached or whatever. But like, just because you had a hard time doesn't make him guilty, you know? And then all these pundits were like, these people were traumatized in their bone marrow. They're forever. They're going to hear a car backfire and they're going to run away. How could we not put Trump away and lock him up forever?
That's the thing about letting your emotions get involved with like a legal proceeding is you can agree that the Capitol riots were horrific.
Right.
And all those people should go to jail. But
yeah, for sure. I mean, what we're talking about here is the appeal to emotion. And when all these people got up and talked about what a terrible time they were having, I was like, how does this prove that he incited anything? I saw a lawyer talk about this, and I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know. But I heard some guy say, like, here's the thing. He seemed very neutral, and he was saying, like, here's the thing. When you incite violence or a riot or whatever, the law says you have to go, like, come on, guys, we're going to go fuck shit up. We're going to beat up this guy specifically. And that was appealing to me because we're comedians and we say bullshit all the time or, you know, hint at things that we're not really serious about or whatever. So I feel like the law should be that way, you know, because if everybody's just kind of making assumptions like this guy said some things and then this happened, he's responsible for it, even though it's kind of, he's speaking in vague terms. Anyway, my point is everybody got up there and talked about how terrible it was.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, Trump has to be punished. And it's like, you're not even making a case for him inciting violence.
You're
just
admitting that you're just upset and you want
him punished. Want somebody punished.
Yeah. How did we get from Chris D'Elia? How are we comparing Chris D'Elia to...
Just because you hate Chris D'Elia and he annoys you, and he probably does, doesn't mean that he did anything wrong. And even if it's a bad look, and I think it's similar with Trump, what his whole MO of working people up into a frenzy and talking shit and tweeting out nonsense and lying all the time is terrible, but... What are we talking here? Legally, did he do anything wrong? And maybe he did. I don't know. Again, I don't want to make any judgment on the Trump thing, but I think it's an analogous.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the word?
Uh-huh.
Cool. To the D'Elia thing. You know?
Yeah, because we can't really prove that anything illegal actually happened on that person's part.
Or people aren't even trying
as
to.
As awful and predatory as they are, a lot of it feels like... Even if he's texting or DMing an 18-year-old and going, hey, do you want to come to my hotel room and have sex? I think people are equating his like kind of emotional callousness with some kind of wrongdoing. Like it's not take somebody out for a date and make it seem special, but... He just wants to fuck. And especially if you're doing that with children. I know that legally, it's you're not going to go to jail for it, but you're messing with fucking children.
Absolutely, yeah.
But...
Tack that. Write that on your list.
Oh, my God. Have I been... I've just been sitting like this?
Would you stop?
Okay, sorry.
Would tack that on your list of things that you hate about Chris D'Elia. That's fine. You know?
Done, yeah.
It still can piss you off.
Number one, his hair.
But then again,
what?
I don't know. He wasn't. I don't know. Is he? Are we going after him because of legal stuff? Like, is anybody calling for his arrest, or are people just saying like the fact that he fucked girls right at the legal limit is disgusting to me? Therefore, I don't want to see his shit on Comedy Central. I don't want to see his stuff on Netflix. Because if that's your,
you know what,
rallying cry.
That's
it's
a good
stupid,
point.
But
no,
I
think,
is it? I don't know.
No, I think that's a good... it's a good point in this conversation because I kept bringing up legal stuff. Nothing he did was illegal. He didn't do anything wrong, but nobody's really saying that. They're just kind of exposing what a
creep
he is. And if that unsettles people enough to not want to buy his shit, if that's what did it for you, though...
Right.
Like, if you were a huge Chris D'Elia fan and you're like, oh, he... Texts,
but I don't think that's what it is. That's really not what it is. There are people hanging out in the wings that like pounce on every story about any sexual misconduct and they kind of make their living that way, and they, you know what I mean? Like, those are the people coming after him. It's not his fans going like, well, now I don't like him.
Right. You know?
I just keep thinking about what, even if you weren't a fan of his, what the argument is. I keep bringing this up. Like, sure, we're past the legal part. There's not much there that we know of to get him in trouble. But, like, beyond that, we're upset that a dumb comedian was having lots of sex on the road. Like, that's what it is. This isn't a politician. This is just like, is this the point we've gotten to as a society? Like, are we ashamed of Chris D'Elia for anybody who didn't think this was happening? Like, was anybody shocked at all? It's very confusing to me. That's all.
Yeah, I would like to have somebody on. We never will, because I don't think I could tolerate this type of person. But somebody come on and explain to me what the big offense is. And like, again, though, fucking a 17-year-old in a state where that's allowed and you're 40 is weird and manipulative
but,
a little bit.
But then your problem is not with Chris D'Elia. You got to call your senator.
Right.
And say we shouldn't be able to fuck teens.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, Chris D'Elia is not the only person in their 40s and above out here trolling for teens.
Sure.
And perfectly legally.
Yes, barely legally.
Barely legally. You know, it's like, if that's the issue, then you really have to put your money where your mouth is and take to the streets and, you know, advocate for change, right? Because as we live at this moment, that's not an offense. It's just it's just America, baby.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, is there anything else that you could market as barely legal, you know?
What, like CBD oil?
Yeah, something like that.
CBD oil is the fucking 18-year-olds.
Right, or like a sandwich at KFC or something.
It almost tastes like crack or something.
No, it's just got so much shit on it, like...
Because it might kill you?
Yeah, because it might kill you. I don't know. I'll workshop that.
Okay,
that's
good.
A new bit I'm working on.
Cool. I'm also not advocating...
You're a big fan of Chris D'Elia. We all understand.
I don't.
You're fine with 40-year-olds fucking children.
I'm just saying.
As long as it's legal in the state. You're for states' rights. You're a libertarian.
No.
Is that what they like?
I don't know what they like. I truly have no idea.
You know, the other thing we wanted to talk about, this is a conversation we've been having a lot lately, is how people are like going insane during quarantine and taking pictures of themselves, like doing like photo shoots and stuff.
Yeah.
Or like posting a lot of selfies, and how like that behavior was kind of acceptable before quarantine. And because I think why is because you kind of think to yourself, oh, they're going out.
Yeah, they got ready for a purpose.
They're feeling themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they snapped a photo. But now we know that you're doing your full makeup and your hair, and then you're just squeezing into a corner in your apartment and taking 1,000 pictures of yourself.
Yeah.
And it just like kind of shines a light on how obnoxious that is.
It's not only obnoxious, it's a little unsettling. And I'm not... we all do it. I've done it. I've tried to do it yesterday, frankly, because you bought me that tracksuit and I want to show it off so badly. I love it. But I got...
Keep your lady happy, fellas.
I started taking pictures of myself alone and I started to feel so humiliated.
I think that's good because when we started talking about this, I had this flashback to when the term selfie was invented.
Yeah.
And I was working at one of the morning shows. I can't remember if it was like Good Morning America or the Today Show or whatever. And they, you know, they're retarded. So they did like a segment where they're like, hey, there's this new thing called the selfie and we're all going to do one and you can do one too. And I remember just being so mortified at first the idea of it. And secondly, maybe even more so, the fact that it's called a selfie, which is just an accepted term now. And I was struck by the fact that millennials talk like little babies and you're an adult and everything's a doggo and a selfie. Yeah. I want my baba, my binky. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, this is where the direction society's going. And at first everybody was there was some pushback. People were like, no, don't just take pictures of yourself. Yeah. It's disgusting.
You should be doing something.
Yeah, yeah. You should join your friends and then you take pictures as a group. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of quickly overrided, and then you kind of forget about it. But now, at this time, it's kind of, for me, all coming back, where I'm like, yeah, oh my God, what are we doing? Just thousands of pictures. And then it gets reframed as like body positivity and self-care and self-love and stuff, when it's just this like ultimate narcissism.
Yeah. It used to be, back in the day, like, it used to be shameful, number one. Yeah. And number two, I thought, when I first got an Instagram, I thought the point of it was to take pictures of things that you're interested
That's
in.
That's what you could be doing.
Not yourself.
Right.
Listen, I've totally jumped shit. I'm on board with everybody else. I'm just like up my own asshole. I've taken selfies, whatever. We all do it.
Yeah, sure. I've
Especially
done it.
Because that, I mean, you post a picture of something you really care about and it'll get 4 likes, and then you post a picture of your stupid head. I think I'm quoting myself verbatim from this podcast, but still, yeah, it still stands. Like, it'll just, everybody loves it. It yeah. just, that's what people, it's what the people want to see. And it's become so much more normal than it used to be.
Isn't that crazy? A song you write?
Yeah,
a joke you
people
tell.
Are like, boo.
Yeah, a painting you make. Just get the fuck out of here.
Show me your mug already.
Right, press them together.
Yeah. But there are a handful of people. Everyone's doing it, right? Everyone's just like, you're bored and you lay around and you just start looking at your face. You start playing with filters. You're just mm-hmm. like, what else are you going to do? It's a goddamn pandemic. But there are a few people who it seems like you're in the throes of a breakdown.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
They're
and it's
like,
just like, you look at their pages, so many.
They're having a hard time and this will make or break their whole fucking week. Like, right. They need to feel attractive or wanted in some way. Yeah. Like, there's like all this pressure on this post because they're like coming apart at the seams.
Right. Yeah, they're just going further inward because they don't have anywhere else to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I would be a little bit more accepting if it was called like a self-portrait, which is what it should be called.
Yeah.
But is it bing bong ding? Like, you're fucking, you got crow's
selfie.
Feet and you're walking your doggo. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I know Gen Z hates us, which, by the way, they can also go fuck themselves.
Wait, I was thinking Gen X. I was like, yeah. Gen X doesn't give a shit about anything.
But that is a critique of millennials by Gen Z that yeah. were like adult babies who like pastel pink and adult what's it called, young adult novels and shit,
you
and
know
it's
the,
it's a good critique.
What's so annoying, I know every generation, it's supposed to be the older generation that shits on the younger generation, and this new generation is coming in hot, and not only is it like I was gonna say unwarranted, it's not unwarranted, but it's accurate.
Yeah.
A lot of it is accurate. And I'm like, hey, what did we do?
But a lot of it is, I've been hearing a lot about Gen Z coming at millennials for how they dress and like their hair and stuff like that. And it's
okay.
like,
okay,
calm
Gen
down.
Z.
You
all look
bald
like
bitches.
Extras from Xenon.
Yeah. You just look like, if you add more shit, you think that's it. Like, you know, I got a billion little tattoos. I got giant glasses. My head shaved. I got, like, I made some Pokemon action figures into earrings. You know what I mean? I got a dress on, but also a tube top. And it's like, calm the, sit down. It's all clashing colors.
Yeah.
I think every young people do that. They don't know what to put together.
We watched Bill and Ted.
Xenon.
Bill and Ted.
That's a reference they will not get. Yeah, go
I know.
Ahead.
You know the second Bill and Ted where they're in the future? It's all like very futuristic. Is that
the third, the new one?
No. No, it's still from like the 80s, but it's
so
not
the first
one. It's the second one.
The one where they go to hell? We never
yeah,
watched
but
that
it
one.
Starts. I watched it recently. It
you've watched it recently
without
me?
In the future. You know that
we're
I did.
We're in a fight.
But anyway, it starts in the future and there's all these young people with like orbs around their heads.
Yeah.
And all these like jagged geometric shapes and colors. And that's exactly what Gen Z looks like to me. By the way,
it's like somebody described a drunk person described the 90s to them. And then they tried to dress that way.
The Gen Z having the gall to tell us we dress poorly when at least like we moved away from how we used to dress. Like, they dress exactly how we dressed in our most shameful era, and we've distanced ourselves from that, but now that's cool. I'm so confused.
It's like the weirdo in your class with like the that bought their entire outfit from Hot Topic, like those like platform boots, you know, with like zippers on them and stuff, and now goddamn, that's like Billie Eilish shit,
fisherman bucket hats,
right?
Those were a fucking plague.
I mean, it's a rite of passage to have a terrible,
but at least ours was original outfit. You know, like ours was wearing like plastic, like bright blue plastic,
yeah it really does look like
with daisies on it and a bucket hat. How the 80s
thought the future would be.
Yeah, and we did that and it was bad. But Gen Z doesn't even have like a new spin. They're just wearing the shit we used to. They're just wearing our hand-me-downs,
right? And then have the gall to shit on us. It's like, you're in the shitty phase of your fashion. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And like, what's our big, you know, faux pas, middle parts or whatever they're fucking...
I don't even know. How are we supposed to be parting our hair? I don't know. This is
like a day on Twitter. So people going off about this stuff. And I mean, you guys, Gen Z, you're nailing some shit. I think like the cultural critique of millennials is pretty good.
Millennials are terrible, just kind of like
soft white women kind of outlook of doggos and... Or it's also like chicken tendies and stuff like that. Isn't just that, like, that's Reddit.
Yeah. Shit. That's like Reddit's ageless in my mind. Who knows what's going on?
Adulting, you know?
That could be 85-year-olds saying chicken tendies on there for all we know.
Sure, that's true. But you have to know, Gen Z, that like, I would love for this generation shit to stop because we also hate that stuff. Mm-hmm. We also, like, every time anybody says doggo in conversation. Yeah. We cringe to our bones, you know? Yeah. We're not on board with it.
I mean, thank God I don't really know many people in my life who've ever used that term.
Yeah.
Really. Like, that was like an internet thing for a while, but...
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's also not... Yeah, it's not that prevalent.
Yeah. So leave us alone.
I guess the Harry Potter shit, sure, you got us dead to rights there.
Harry Potter was a big, big part of my life.
So that Gen Z joke, something along the lines of... Stop trying to figure out what house you are. You don't have a house. You live in an apartment. You're 40. You got eight roommates.
It's great. True.
Good job, guys.
Yeah, I kind of like how shitty they are. They're scamps.
Mm-hmm. But we should be joining forces with them to, you know,
get another.
Start sniping boomers from clock towers.
Yet another way to divide us.
Yeah, exactly. What else? What were the other topics? Because I know there's so many. Women, sure.
We saw a woman had a TED Talk.
Okay, we're diving into this.
Yeah.
This was a big event in this apartment.
This was, guys.
We both went
Remember
nuts.
9/11?
You yelled at me.
I got so
But you
so
were
upset.
Mad at the woman on the TED Talk.
I got so upset and I was looking at you and I was like, I'm sorry. I'm just so agitated by this and I can't. I punched the couch.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, there's first of all, TEDx is not anything.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, the guys we fucked girls did a TEDx talk. It's like, what the fuck do they know about anything? And they're up there like, what? I'm just saying, like, it's like us doing a TEDx talk. You know, what are we going to talk about?
I see.
You know?
Yeah.
We're not fucking professors.
Right.
So this woman does a TEDx talk, and it's about, what is the... How to be a man, a woman's guide. I mean, should we preference this or just like play the audio of it and discuss as we go along?
You want to play the entire thing?
Well, no, but we can play a little
bit.
We
should play.
Of it.
Yeah, I guess we could play the audio. Oh, well, I mean, yeah, the title sums it up.
Yeah.
It's a woman. She'll explain to you what her her qualifications are to be giving this.
Yeah.
Talk.
Okay, there's going to be a lot of pausing, I feel like. Okay, it's starting. It's playing. I didn't. I should have figured out a way to do this besides just holding it up to the phone.
Hi, everyone. So my talk is dedicated to men, but also to the women inside the room, obviously. So, dear men, we need to talk. We need to talk about what it means to be a man. Because I think that you deserve better. And I think that things need to change. Women, we got our own revolution, right? We still have work to do. But largely, we found direction through that revolution. And I think that men need a revolution too, but I think that their revolution, they need to get a little bit lost in it. So why should you listen to me, right? Why would you need to change anything about the way that you are doing things right now? Men have power, men have influence, men have money, and you pee standing up, like you have everything.
She's also a comedian.
And why would you listen to a woman? And you have a point. Sorry, I forgot to put my first slide. And you have a point. I only make 77 cents to your dollar.
Oh!
My gender is hardly represented in our Congress.
Got him!
And frankly, I don't even know what a 401k is yet. Like, and no one tell my mom, please.
Let's pause
right,
right there.
Yeah, just to pause right there. First of all, what this woman is doing, and we've addressed this on the show before, but there is this kind of movement to address toxic masculinity in a way that's like, I will explain to you how to be a man. And yeah. I'm coming from a position of compassion because you guys are stupid and don't understand how to emote or have friends or anything. And I forget the name of her book. It's like, I don't know, I Love You Men or something like that. Or We Need to Talk Men or something like that.
Yeah.
It's all like wrapped up in this very giving, you know, I'm here to help and I actually understand your plight type thing.
I'm an ally.
And just right off the bat there when she goes, you know, and I don't even know what a 401k is. So why would you listen to me? And it's like,
that's a good point.
That's a good, you don't know, you're in your 30s. You don't know what a 401k, you don't even, okay, you don't have one. Sure. You know, times are tough, but you don't know what one is.
Also, the way she goes, please don't tell my mom. Like you said, this is a woman in her 30s. This is like the quintessential millennial woman that we were just discussing. Like, she's so stunted.
Yeah.
Please don't tell my mom.
She's stunted.
You sound like a little baby.
Nothing going on. But despite all of that, just her being her already puts her above men. And makes her more informed. She just knows more shit than men.
Yeah,
so she doesn't know how to invest money or anything. You know, she's just a fumbling idiot and she could barely stand on two legs. But let me explain to you how feelings work, guys. Let's get down to it. I mean, we're getting there, but
here's how to be a man. I mean, just like the insulting nature of anybody from one group that doesn't represent another group explaining to this said other group how to be that thing. I know that's an insane sentence, but like, why? What are you doing?
And it's like, oh, well, we're not even gonna catch on that this is condescending and shitty because she's so sweet and she cares about you and she really wants you to understand. We're gonna get into it more. I think we should play more because this is just ramping up.
I also store bras in my fridge and shoes in my oven. That is how much of my life I have together.
Okay, can we pause already? So, yeah. Can we pause for 1 second? This is a trait that, I do think, again, is specifically millennial women raised on, like, Sex and the City and rom-coms where, like, being a silly klutz is the most adorable thing in the world. It's very endearing. Why do you put your bra in the fridge and your shoes in the oven? That's serial killer behavior. That's insane. That's not adorable. That's insane. But the way she says it, you can tell she believes it's the cutest thing on the planet.
Yeah.
And that's so... I don't. She's about to tell men that the way they behave is inherently wrong.
Right.
That baffles me. That like, I think that was when I punched the couch.
Well, I think what she's getting at is she like has a small apartment and doesn't have storage, but But it's such a weird thing. I think you see this a lot with terrible comedians. They fucking leave the setup out completely. Yeah. And you're like, what are you talking about?
Why
also,
would you do
if,
that?
Yeah, like what?
None
okay,
of,
you don't
none
have
of that
storage.
Makes sense. The storage thing, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You don't put your bra in the fridge or the freezer.
Yeah,
I'm
I don't
so
know.
I'm so angry at
this
her.
Is just, yeah, well, this is just starting, so.
You shouldn't take a lot of advice from me, but there is one okay. thing
what,
that I am good
talk?
At, and that is thinking about gender and gender expectations that we have about women. I've spent the last, the most of the five last years thinking and speaking and doing videos about what it means to be a woman and what kinds of expectations that we place on women. And
okay, I want to stop right there. You pointed this out to me. Not researching, not reading.
Doing videos.
Thinking about and doing videos and what it means to be a woman. So I guess you could say I'm pretty qualified to give this TEDx talk.
And so they gave her a TED talk and she got a book published. I mean, the length that just nothing but pure confidence can
right.
get you is amazing.
If you can give a speech about anything, people mm-hmm. will listen and you can get into TEDx because the X stands for horseshit. So if I got up on stage and said, I've been spending the last 5 years thinking about sea monkeys. Now, the thing you don't understand about sea, can we get the first slide up here? The first thing you don't understand about sea monkeys is, and then you just,
yeah.
you just fuck it. It's nothing.
Yeah,
you just
modulate your voice.
Yeah.
And you know, I said this before, but what you guys can't see, and this is very important, is she's wearing a leather jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And that's incredibly offensive to me. It's
Catherine is a Hell's Angel.
It's a fucking ruse. It looks like you could peel it off, you know?
Yes.
Like, it looks like leather. She got it at Kohl's. She looks like a background, like, actor in Grease Jr. She looks... She thought so much about this outfit, 10 times more than she thought about what she was going to be saying on stage.
Yeah. Well, she pulled it out of the freezer and she...
Yeah.
Many other women have been doing that too. Many other women who do not store bras in their fridge, like Beyonce and like Sheryl Sandberg.
Pause.
Disagreed.
Yet another trait of the obnoxious millennial woman. Beyonce and Sheryl Sandberg are her... spirit animals. They're,
well, no, she's making a point here. She's okay. making a point that there's different types of feminism.
Oh my god, you're fucking in love with her. You always defend her.
I mean,
you always take her side.
Right, about what it means to be a woman. And a lot of people think that that was a weakness of the feminist movement. But I think that that was the strength of the feminist movement. The feminist movement didn't tell women you all have to be high-powered CEOs at a Silicon Valley company. Feminism didn't tell women you all have to be the best mom that cooks brownies for her kids every Friday night. Feminism told women that they could choose one of those things. Or that they could choose to be both of those things. Or that they could choose to be neither of those things. But those conversations were difficult, right? Is Beyonce's feminism relatable to a woman who's asexual? Or to a woman who's a Christian conservative? Probably not. Is Sheryl Sandberg's feminism, that's more corporate feminism, relatable to an immigrant who takes care of the children of the mom who reads Lean In? Maybe not. But these conversations were so important because they allowed us to rethink our roles as women. And I think that men need to do that too. But here's the problem. What's the worst thing? What's the most emasculating thing that a man can do? Get lost, right? Ask for directions.
This is where I lost my
yeah.
shit.
Did I wander into the ladies' mic at the creek in the cave?
My God.
What do men do? They lose the remote. Right, ladies? They're always leaving their socks on the floor.
This is literally women be shopping.
Yeah.
This is like, what? Like, at first, I thought maybe she would get somewhere. It would be really weak and flowery and not have a lot of depth to it. But she said, what do men hate most? Asking for directions. Like, fucking... like Borscht Belt comedian
yeah, yeah.
era.
What's
comedy.
Who's Jim Belushi?
Yeah.
John Belushi's brother. What was the name of his show?
Oh, According to Jim?
Yeah, she did all her research watching According to Jim. I know what, I'm pretty sure I got to the bottom of men. I've thought about this a lot.
She's like, guys, you have to stop hanging out with your friends at the bowling alley.
Right there, red flag that you don't, God damn, imagine grouping people together like that. It's like,
I mean, imagine.
It's the only group you could do that with.
Imagine getting on stage as an expert in something, even if it's a very, very niche subject, and then explaining to this group of people, you're telling them how to be something.
Now, guys,
how
to be this. We know that Chinese people are pretty bad at driving.
Yeah.
The brothers, they love their basketball. This we all know that.
This woman did a TEDx talk, How to Be Chinese.
So if men can't ask for directions to the closest gas station, how the hell are they supposed to ask directions about how to be men?
Oh, excellent point.
Sure.
So how do I know this? I did my own little social experiment because I love doing those.
She loves doing social experiments.
In New York City,
this is what blew my mind.
With a chair and a table and a simple sign that read free advice for men from a woman. And I went with my friend Esther Perel because she has a lot of good advice to give out. I, on the other hand, cool. Not so much. And so she is a speaker, a TED speaker, world renowned therapist, psychologist.
You really brought the
scholar.
Real estate down
and
for TED
I was
speakers.
Very
it means nothing to me
this
anymore.
This isn't TED speak. I mean, it's crazy. I keep saying this. Like, I tweeted it. Like, the X means not true. It's
the
like.
The X means like. Like,
bullshit. It's so crazy. It's like, so there's TED Talks where somebody like was in the Marines and experienced PTSD and now they have a therapy dog. This is actually a guy I went to high school with and he did a TED Talk about how to kind of come back from the brink of insanity after going to war over and over and over again.
You should tell him to check this out because it sounds like his real problem is toxic masculinity.
Right, right, right. That's why I went over there in the first place. Honestly, that's probably true. But anyway, they were fucking maniacs in high school. But so like that guy has real life experience. Mm-hmm. He has, you know,
okay,
things
so
that happen.
Her friend is a TED speaker. Where
maybe
she's
I don't know
a TEDx speaker.
I don't know if she's removing the X or what. But isn't it so crazy that when you move over to TEDx, it's this pseudoscience kind of just, I was thinking about things and here's the conclusion I came to by myself. I'm stupid, by the way. It's insane.
It is like, it sounds like you're making fun of her, but she just said that.
Right.
She was like, I went to Washington Square Park.
I didn't know what I was doing. I had poop in my pants.
My friend has lots of good advice. Me, not so much.
Right.
Did I mention I put shoes in the oven?
I was in Washington Square Park with my freezing tits.
That's like a textbook sign of dementia, by the way. When you start putting things in the wrong places, like keys in the fridge and stuff.
I'm not that bright. Sometimes I wander down the highway in a robe.
Screaming,
and the cops have to pick me up.
Covered in blood.
Yeah. Sometimes I think my mom is my daughter and I don't know what's going on. It's like.
She just eats a live bird on stage.
Yeah,
here's like, how to be a man.
Come on, man. Starts quoting Joe Biden. All right. Wait, just to reiterate, she's going to Washington Square Park with a sign.
Louder with Crowder.
That says, a sign that says free advice for men from a woman. This is the thought experiment or whatever.
I'm a woman.
Social
change
experiment.
My mind.
Yeah. Men can't have friends. Change my mind.
To ask us, but I was also very interested in asking them one question. And that question was, what's hard about being a man? And the men who seemed to know exactly where they were going that day suddenly got a little bit lost. And a lot of them had never even began to think about that question at all. And in a way,
I think this point she's making here, mm-hmm. that a lot of them had never thought about that question at all, is such a more interesting thing. What the conclusion she's going to come to is that men don't emote and aren't in touch with their feelings. When in reality, the conclusion she should come to is that men just do what they have to do and go about their business. They don't sit around ruminating on how being them is terrible.
Setting up
a when they do, we hate them, by the way.
Table and getting in everybody's way.
Yeah.
To find out, like, yeah, she's implying that the fact that they've never thought what the hardest thing is about being a man is a bad thing. And I would argue that it's quite a good thing.
Right. And maybe that's the direction women should start going instead of. And then if you do that, if you go like, oh, I have this like baseline of existence where I'm not studying certain things about myself constantly. It allows for me to have hobbies,
yeah,
have interactions with other people, engage with other people instead, yeah, of thinking about, I don't know, how my gender affects the conversation or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just hit pause thinking about somebody disagreeing with this that, well, maybe I should about it.
Well, that she certainly does.
Yeah,
I mean, she's wrong, but here she goes.
Exactly what they were taught to do, which is never ask for directions.
Wait, okay, hold on.
Really important
this is my favorite part. Vamp, because I got to figure out how to rewind.
Oh, I don't know how to vamp. I mean,
okay.
We got a little bit lost. And a lot of them had never even began to think about that question at all. And in a way, they did exactly what they were taught to do, which is never ask for directions.
I think what she's implying there is that they should have asked her for directions. Like, help me understand why it's hard to be a man, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I'm misinterpreting it, but that's what it seems like. These men didn't even think to ask me what the correct answer is because they don't ask for directions because they're
bad.
What
a weird thing. Like, does she not know that what she's doing is already so strange, yeah, and kind of like disconcerting that maybe?
Well, she came to the conclusion already. She wrote the speech before she fucking went to Washington Square Park. I mean, that's what happened.
Yeah.
Took away two really important things from the conversations that I had with these men, and I talked with men of all ages, of all cultural backgrounds. That's a great thing about New York City. And so when I asked them what was hard about being a man, what was hard about being a man wasn't women. It was actually other men.
Interesting.
So what came up again and again and again in these conversations was that men felt a pressure to perform their masculinity, not in front of women, in front of men. And that's...
Okay. I think this is fascinating because the claim is that women don't make men uncomfortable or don't pressure men to be masculine, which is... insane. That's the only thing. That's straight ahead the only fucking thing that women, whether they'll admit it or not, and whether it's a good thing or not, whether or not it's human nature, don't want to be around a sniveling, crying man who's just always a puddle because he's so in touch with his emotions. And he, because then like your lizard part of your brain goes, oh shit,
he's
the
not
guy,
gonna be able to protect me.
Yeah, the guy who's supposed to. And it just is. I'm sorry if that upsets people. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, that's the case. That's how men and women interact. It's like, well, fuck, I'm supposed to be, women kind of feel like I'm supposed to be the one that's taken care of, whether or not, it's not even malicious, you know?
Yeah.
And so therefore men kind of develop coping mechanisms to not be overly sensitive, and it's not repression of emotions, it's just kind of the way things are, you know. Now what I think is incredible is that she says women, so it's only men that put these pressures on other men, but she's a woman in Washington Square Park interviewing men about this stuff, and the only other videos I've ever seen of a woman interviewing men in Washington Square Park is from babe.net, where a woman will interview a guy, ask how many fucking fallopian tubes there are, and the guy gets the answer wrong, and then she looks at the camera and is like, what a fucking piece of shit over here, right? And then, like, it cuts away, and she's in a different room somewhere making fun of the guy.
Yeah, you know?
You don't say to a white woman in her early 30s in Washington Square Park that women are a problem. You would never do that.
Yeah.
You're digging your own
grave.
Yeah,
you just go, definitely not women. Definitely something else.
We're hard on each other.
I think it's bees, probably. Bees is the hardest part about being a man.
What do you want me to say? Do I have to sign a release? Can you blur my face?
I just would love to hear. I mean, I would honestly, I don't want to hear any of this fucking dissecting the genders talk at all.
Yeah.
That's just my preference. But if I have to, I'd love to hear men's take on this rather than like women studying men and telling them how they need to be, because 99.99% of these women who like really at length explain how men need to think and feel in order to be better,
right,
would never want to date that type of
man. Not at all,
ever.
There's a reason that you think that men can't ask for directions or are all pent up or whatever the fuck, and that's because you're a Pottery Barn, this is my fight song, white woman, and you date craft beer chugging, this is my favorite sports team, white guys, yeah, and they behave in these stereotypes.
Yeah.
And you don't venture outside of your hometown.
It's so small-minded and telling when you hear these women talk about how all men behave. It's like, please travel. Just like, yeah, please expand your friend group outside of fucking Murray Hill.
Right. I know I've said this like 10 times on the podcast, but it's like when you go to an open mic and you see a 21-year-old guy and he goes up on stage. He's like, women always be named Jessica and are mad at you because you didn't text them back today. And it's like just something very specific to, yeah, their situation. And you're immediately alerted to how many women this person,
yeah,
knows. You,
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I had something else. Oh, okay. I think, you know, you were saying you want to hear from men about this stuff, mm-hmm, like how they emote and friendships and stuff like that.
I mean, I first and foremost would like to say again, I don't want to hear about
it at all. But, yeah, yeah. But well, you never will, because, yeah, they don't think in the same way. And I think even when you get men repeating this stuff, going like, oh, yeah, we don't show each other our emotions, or yeah, I do feel pressure to suck it up or whatever. I think what you're really getting a lot of times is just them repeating what these women have said to them, when the reality is that they don't have an opinion on this. They weren't, mm-hmm, thinking about it at all. Their brain isn't working that way. They're thinking about something else, something they want to do, somewhere, yeah, they want to go, you know? And so when somebody says, well, how do you feel about this? They have nothing. Their brain's empty. So they go like, and then the woman goes, could it be that you feel this pressure to always not,
yeah, yes, that sounds right,
that's true, uh-huh, I do have that. I always want to cry but then I can't, you know,
yeah.
And obviously there's some of that, like the classic Bill Burr bit about, you know, why men die young because they can't say a puppy's cute and shit,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
but I don't think it's as prominent now.
I mean, this binary examination, I'm not usually this person, but beyond like certain biological differences between human beings, gender-wise or sex-wise, whatever, gender itself is this sort of abstract spectrum-y thing. Like,
right,
I'm fully on board with that. People in general are all sorts of mixtures of masculine and feminine.
Right.
And so when you hear people go, all men do this and all women do this, it sounds so, so,
yeah,
small-minded.
Absolutely.
I'm stupid. I'm just tired of it. And and anybody trying to go even more inward and examine themselves, it feels very divisive. It feels like we're setting up boxes once again of like why are men examining what makes them a man? Can we just like go to work?
Yeah. Like, I've never in my life thought about what it means to be a man, because
I've never thought about what it means to be a woman.
Right. Good.
Who
That's
cares?
How you should live, because you're you,
yeah,
you know? I don't have anything universally in common
with
like men, especially now,
yeah,
that gender is a spectrum and, you know, anybody can have a dick, like literally nothing I have in common,
yeah,
with all men.
There's, yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it's like, what the fuck? Shut up. You're not talking,
yeah,
about me, you know?
Right. It just, like I said, it sounds like it all boils down to like women be shopping and,
right,
and men like, just leave me alone so I can watch the game. It just sounds so so backwards and reductive.
We just like keep trying to find ways to group people together,
yeah,
to judge them. I don't know if I said this on a different podcast, but we were watching a video, like a political video, like a man on the street video, and there's this interview going on, and this guy walks by and he goes, "Are you Black Lives Matter? Are you Antifa?" to the person doing the interview.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment I was like, oh, this is what we do to each other. We go like, let me decide what you are first. Are you a fucking alt-right, crypto-fascist, Trumpian, flat earther?
Yeah.
Because if you are, I don't like you. But if you're a bi positive, you know, whatever,
yeah,
blah, 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 whatever, you know? And yeah, it's just like we keep trying to zero in on more and more ways.
Census workers trying to...
I don't belong to any fucking group. Wasn't it? George Carlin said something about this, you know, like... He loves people, but he hates groups. I mean, yeah, I think that's so true. And I don't want to be, I don't want to be in any group, whether it be connected to my gender, my race, or anything.
Especially because when you subscribe to a group, it starts to inform the way you think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's scary to me.
You know, I read this tweet once, or actually I've seen this tweet many times, where it said, white people hate being called white. Or why do white people hate being called white?
Because you say it like that.
It's like, because it's never followed up with, are great, yeah, are a fun hang. You know what I mean? And that's why I don't want to be in the men group either. Because it's not going to be like, are the best.
Right.
You know? Can't get enough. Love them.
Yeah.
It's always like, are pieces of shit and can't have friends and can't emote.
I'm so tired of this conversation, this men versus women thing. It. No, you know what I mean. Oh, she's back.
That's actually a phenomenon that's supported by a theory that's called precarious masculinity. And it's a theory basically that states that as women, our, you know, femininity is kind of, you know, assumed. So we can wear pants and leather jackets and, you know, wear a tuxedo to a wedding and it's kind of cool. But we can bend gender norms a little bit. Men don't have that luxury. Real men don't wear dresses. Real men don't wear makeup. Real men don't act like women, right? And
once again, you're really showing your ass. You're really telling on yourself. These are the people you hung out with.
Yeah.
I'm getting older.
Yeah, you live in New York
City? I'm from a different time, and I'm from the middle of this fucking country. And when I was going to high school, I had hair down to my fucking shoulders and I was dressing like a fucking idiot and, you know, wearing girls' clothes and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, wasn't ever a problem for me. You are hanging out with a very specific group of people, you know?
Yeah. They all got boat shoes on and polos. You can tell
they work in finance.
Coming across, or she's attempting to present herself as some kind of like sociologist, but she's not doing the work at all.
Well, that's the thing. When you put the X after Ted, you can all you got to do is
so important.
Sit by yourself, and I'm telling you, we could have a TEDx just because we're bullshitters who come to all these conclusions and, you know, don't do any research. I mean, we came to all kinds of conclusions about Chris D'Elia, and we could do a TED talk on it. You know,
I have spent the past 5 years thinking about Kelsey Grammer.
Right.
Welcome to my TEDx talk.
And that is very constraining for men. And in a way, the best image that I could come up with to describe masculinity is an inflatable donut.
She's very charmed by herself.
Trying to be a man for men is trying to inflate an inflatable donut that has a hole into it. And trying to inflate it, and basically you have to keep blowing into it to maintain the illusion that it's not flawed. But basically,
I'm not flawed. My brain just shut off.
You will never be able to maintain it. So masculinity is that broken donut, inflatable donut, and we need to fix it.
Okay, well, it does sound serious when you put it that way.
The theme was that all of these men had all of these worries and insecurities and were coming to us with them. And when I asked them if they'd ever talked about these things to men inside their lives, most of them said no. So there's one simple solution to a very complicated problem, which is men have to talk to each other. But the way that men talk to each other is also problematic. So if you think about friendship, There are many studies. Obviously, men have friends, women have friends, but they experience friendships in different ways. Men's friendships are less in-depth than they are for women, and they're less long-lived. There's really interesting studies on married men, for example, that shows that as they age...
I mean, we got into this a year ago or whatever, but this... men don't know how to be friends with each other shit drives me up a fucking wall. For you to look, it's, we do things differently than
women
you do.
Women are so fucking nosy.
Yeah.
They're just, they're looking over at the other side going, wait a minute, you guys aren't doing things exactly the way we are.
Yeah.
There's a problem here.
We need to be in control of the conversations you guys have when you're by yourselves. Because they're problematic, okay? Like, I've never been in one, but I can assume.
It just seems like bringing women's solutions to men's problems doesn't really seem like the answer, in my opinion. No. It's like getting a fucking a manual for a refrigerator to fix a dryer or something. It's just not the thing, right?
Right.
If I don't know. I may be contradicting myself because I was saying that we got to stop with all the, like, men act like this and women act like this. But there are fundamental differences, especially when you hear somebody say, like, they don't have in-depth friendships, which doesn't, that phrase sounds so
men
stupid
to
me.
Men go to war with each
but
other.
But, like, don't know how to talk to each other. It's like, that doesn't, just because somebody doesn't act the exact same way you do does not mean there's a problem.
Right. And it is just so insulting that you are sitting on your side of the fence and deciding what we're doing wrong all the time.
Yeah.
We don't do this shit to you. And by the way, we could, you know, because everybody's flawed. I'm not saying that women are inherently shitty, but, like, okay, female friendships, are you fucking kidding me? Like, the talking behind each other's back, the ganging up on one of them, the, you know, like, using compliments as insults, or just like,
yeah,
you know.
And when you say that, it does sound very reductive and insulting.
Right. Yes, but I'm just mirroring what she's doing.
Exactly.
I just don't think you guys have perfected it either.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. No, I think you're totally
but
right.
Also, you just don't.
Never forget that this woman is, she brings up the phrase, there's like a crisis in masculinity, or like there's a masculinity crisis,
right?
She's selling a book.
Right.
She's creating
it's a white fragility
crisis, yeah, in order to offer you a solution, but you have to buy her book.
Yeah. Men are in crisis. Hey, just so happens, I wrote a book called Fixing the Male Crisis.
Yeah.
Hey, turns out every single person is racist.
Yeah, you better buy my book.
Yeah, I wrote a how-to.
Which was free before, but now there's a real race crisis.
Yeah, now there's a race war. You got to pay $1,000 for it to figure out how to fix it.
That is so sinister.
Fuck. Oh, I'm also so disgusted by how this is framed. Like, we'll do you this favor. We're going to...
Yeah.
Because you know she thought about this. She was like, I can come at men and say that you're full of shit and your toxic masculinity is ruining the world and that you're ridiculous and stupid and don't know how to have friendships, but nobody's going to listen to that. I should try to change the world. So yeah. I'm going to care about these men. I'm going to frame it as me doing them a favor. And it's like we're babies, you know, like we're stupid little idiot babies who need to learn. Like, she, I don't know how much more of this you want to listen to, but she really starts using the word, actually I can't remember if it was in the TEDx talk or the actual show I saw her on, she just keeps using education over and over again. We need to educate. Is that,
yeah,
it was something else I saw her on.
Another way to sell her book.
Yeah, but like, think about that, like, this goofy viewpoint, and now it's, well, I explained it to you, now it's fact. So people who don't know this are ignorant. So I am now educating. You're an educator now. That's interesting, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, the confidence that people have.
Yeah.
She wrote a whole book.
It's just, leave people alone.
Right.
And get your own identity and fuck off.
Take this gender stuff with a grain of salt, by the way. I know that there are fundamental differences between people, like, that inform the way you behave
And if you're punching holes in the drywall, go to anger management. But other than that, like, it's a real person-to-person basis.
Yeah.
You're like, nobody should feel bad just because they were born a certain gender.
Right.
You know? Like, and to throw that whole, like, just to cast this whole wide net and say that all men or all women act this way, it's yeah. so insulting.
Yeah, and it also, it's these weird kind of ambiguous problems that are unsolvable. We're going to solve what? Men? You're going to solve men?
Yeah, what are you talking about? You're going
to solve the idea of masculinity, like, did single-handedly yeah. by writing a book and doing a fake TED Talk? It's so ridiculous on its face, you know, right. without any degrees and your fucking shoes in the oven and shit.
Her thing that I think has made her popular is she's like, she presents herself as like, I'm the cool mom. You guys can drink in the house, because she has this thing of like, cancel culture is bad.
Yeah.
And so.
Oh, he does. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so some people hear that and they go, yeah. And I'll listen right, to everything right. else you say. But everything else she's saying is horseshit.
Well, she has these little things that she says that allow her to incept her ideas into people's heads. Like, mm-hmm. I understand men, and it's hard for men and stuff. And mm-hmm. men go like, hey, yeah, nobody fucking talks about us in yeah. a positive way.
It's a very clever tactic. I will give her that.
Yeah. Do you want to listen to more? I don't know if any more of it's interesting. It's almost done.
Yeah, there's only like a minute left, right?
Yeah. They become increasingly isolated, and we just don't see that same phenomenon with women. And there's really interesting surveys also coming out of the UK showing that there's actually 2.5 million men living in the UK right now with wow. no close friends.
Without close
no wonder
friends.
When two men hang out and have dinner at an Italian restaurant on a Friday night, we have to call that a bromance, right? That
there's Once something,
again. There's something she that's wrong with two men just hanging out platonically and having an intimate, in-depth conversation or friendship.
Go ahead. What were you saying?
She's got a fucking cat calendar and a mug that says "Not today, Satan." And like,
I'm going out to dinner on Friday with Eric.
What the hell?
Well,
why was I not invited?
Cause it's a bromance. There's nothing wrong with that.
But you know what I mean?
No. Just you can come, but you know what I mean? Like, that's fucking fine.
It's like what we were saying before, though. Like, all men are named Todd.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, they do too much coke, right. and they go to like boat parties, and they use the term bromance. Like, these are
guys, like, if Brad and Todd are having dinner together at an Italian restaurant and then their friend Chad comes in, he's gonna flip the table and call him fags. Like, come on, guys.
And we
That's
have to
how
stop
it works.
This
yeah.
we have to stop this behavior.
It's 1993.
It's just
also bromance drove me nuts the first time I heard that. I was like, bromance is a term that's not like a slur. That's not like a derogatory mm-hmm. term. That's like something, it's an affectionate term.
Yeah, and you said before, it's just because it sounds fun. It just flows. It's yeah. like a whatever they're called.
Yeah, there's not a girl mance because the pun doesn't work. It's yeah. bromance because it's like yeah. a goofy tweet or something. Like, we got to call it a bromance, right? Because
yes,
there's something inherently wrong with it.
Yeah, and it's got to be romantic, right? It's like, no, it's just fun. It's just...
It makes me think that's what you think when yeah, you walk into a yeah. restaurant.
That all men who are friends are gay.
Yeah. Or no, like, it's even more irritating because I feel like she walks into a restaurant, sees two men that appear to be straight having dinner together, and she thinks to herself, "Aw, good for them."
She seems like she would see Aww. An interracial couple on the subway and be like,
"Oh,
and like
job.
Clap."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just want you guys to know, I think this is very cool.
Right. I voted for Hillary, so.
So not even Obama.
Yeah.
Hillary.
Yeah, it's a shame what happened.
We have to label it as somehow being romantic. But the crisis in masculinity will not be solved by men just going out to see romantic comedies on Saturday afternoons together. We have to.
Is that even like?
That's so specific.
They've got to do more than just that.
First of all, they're going to Italian restaurants together on Friday nights, and then on Saturday afternoons they're going to see
right
buddy cop movies.
She's basically saying like, the crisis of masculinity won't just be solved by them becoming women, right? Or them dating each other, I guess.
Just because you're playing Twister on a Sunday.
Topless.
While drinking iced teas.
Right.
Doesn't mean you've solved this crisis.
Men are going to have to learn to do everything I do, and then they'll be perfect.
What happens when men do assemble in male spaces? And male spaces, unfortunately, sometimes can be threatening to women. But I think that they can also be threatening to men.
You think or you know?
If we think about our presidential Elizabeth. Campaign, right? For the first time in election history, we've had a major candidate of a major party defend the idea that it is okay for men to brag about sexual assault when they are together. We had his spouse call it boy talk, and he described it as locker room talk. I don't think that we should be teaching men to be boys. I think that we should be teaching boys to become better men. And I think that we do that by allowing men to reclaim those male spaces. Those male spaces shouldn't be places where men have to brag about doing illegal things or brag about all of the great things that they can do or the things that they say that they can do. They should be spaces where men can ask questions, where men can ask for direction, and where instead of having to always appear strong, can appear weak.
No, thank you. No, I won't be allowing that.
And I get that that's risky. I get that that is can feel frightening, but I think that the worst thing that you can do is get a little lost, and maybe that's exactly what men have to do. Thank you.
Wowzers!
Yeah,
she really stuck the landing there.
You know what I realized during that last chunk was this is like a woman who wants to change a man. Like, I can fix him. I can change him. I can put him in the sweaters I think he should be wearing. Yeah. And I can, you know, change his, pull his fucking sports paraphernalia off the wall or whatever. But she's doing it in a massive way. She's taken that and she's doing it to every man. She's like, I'm going to control what men talk about, how men emote, how they behave.
The most egregious thing, I think you're totally right, but the most egregious thing, and I really think she believes this, is that she thinks she's doing a service out of the kindness of her heart.
Right.
She wants
but
to.
But like,
you hear that, men? You're allowed to ask questions.
Right.
That was her big takeaway. You're and allowed to ask for directions.
Yeah. It's not just helping. It's like she thinks she's volunteering with like special needs kids and like wiping their asses and stuff.
Yeah,
it's not, it's so condescending.
Yeah, like, can you believe I'm this philanthropic?
It's so interesting because her, like she said, she's been thinking about this stuff, and her ilk mm-hmm. have been going back and forth and reading books and coming up with theories and stuff, and it's such a crazy thing to, this is why these men in Washington Square Park are like taken aback to spring it on somebody who wasn't doing that at all at once. What do you think about all this stuff? I wasn't really thinking about that. Well, isn't some of it a problem? I mean, I'd have to like, I mean, I guess so. You seem like it's a problem. You seem like you've done the research and it's a problem. Oh, it's a problem.
Yeah.
Let me explain to you why it's a problem. Well, okay. Just don't be mad at me. Yeah, I don't like when ladies are mad at me.
I think it's interesting if you want to become a true researcher and hypothesize and find out things that we really didn't know before about human behavior. But this feels chock full of biases about, like, why am I not married and it's men's problem, right? You know, maybe I'm, what,
you made no you're, I just, oh, okay. I was just thinking of something I was gonna say.
Yeah, just, I don't know, that's perhaps a tad like overly judgmental, but it's, she just doesn't seem like she's done actual research here. She's right. Had some ideas about men for a long time. She's got her act together. She's got shoes in the oven, and she's gonna tell them how to ask for directions.
You know, she brings up Donald Trump at the end and mm-hmm. what he his locker room talk or whatever. Mm-hmm. So now she has lumped in all men with this thing Donald Trump says because she doesn't have access to locker rooms where there's locker room talk.
Yeah.
So she has this one example and she extrapolates outward. We need to put an end to this. Is this rampant? Is this what every locker room sounds like?
Yeah.
I got to fucking get my tentacles into that, you know, arena right. and start arranging things.
Like I said, Christ. It feels nosy, right? It feels nosy it's and controlling.
Yeah.
Like, why do you care? You only care because you think it affects you negatively.
I think I know why. Now, on the second viewing of this, it really does feel to me like a woman who grew up, decided who the man she was going to marry is going to be. Mm-hmm. Like, I got it. And like, they don't exist. Yeah. Right? So now the new thing, well, I'm going to like make
Dermot Mulroney in my best friend's wedding or something.
Yeah, yeah, sure. I'll take your word for it. I have toxic Harry masculinity, Connick so I never Jr. go to those films. But like, I'm going to mold him. I'm going to shape him and I'm going to change somebody. Mm-hmm. And she's just taken that and it's on a grander scale. It's like, well, I could do this for everybody. I got to tell men how to be perfect. I know what the perfect thing is. I have been thinking about it.
Yeah.
I've been doing videos about it. You know, we got to watch her videos.
You know what she doesn't do? She doesn't ask why very often. She looks around and she decides what's happening. Men are afraid to be men and here's the solution. But she doesn't try to figure out why mm-hmm. men behave in a certain way. Or yeah. does she? Am I missing that?
She came to all of her conclusions. Then she like, did her research.
Oh, I'm going to say the direction thing and I'm going to say it again at the end.
Yeah. Give me a call back.
So proud of herself.
Get crazy cotton mouth. Click my way through this bitch.
Yeah, she's got a very spastic energy that I don't like.
Yeah.
It makes me anxious. I mean, she's probably just nervous in general, but it doesn't make me feel like this person knows what they're talking about.
Yeah, not an intellectual. Yeah. You know? But to put a button on it, because I feel like I've said this a bunch of times, but I think the real problem here is that you are considering things that men don't think about that often.
Yeah.
And sometimes we'll latch on to some of your ideas that you came up with. Like, it sucks when people tell you to suck it up as a man. Sure. Yeah. I'm on board with that. And then mm-hmm. like, then they just keep going with it. And men don't know how to be friends and they don't know how to emote to each other. And it's like, well, okay.
Yeah.
Well, slow down. And then it just starts fucking snowballing. And it's like, there's so much more to it. And maybe if men all had a year to really dig inwardly and think about masculinity like she is demanding we do, we might come back with a bunch of itemized responses to the last decade of you fucking ruminating on this shit, you know?
My only thing, I think we're already seeing it happen, but like my only parting words for women who want to keep pressuring men to like look inward and act more like women or be more in touch with their feelings is fuck around and see what happens.
yeah. Fuck around, find out.
Yeah, fuck around and find out because you're not going to like it. You're just not. I don't know. If you're the type of woman that I think you are, you're not.
And those men are out there, by the way. If you want like a... But you're not pursuing them. You're not pursuing a theater kid kind of soft, you know, poet. You go for Chad with the Oakleys and then Chad. You demand that he open up. And like, what the fuck? You win.
I've been trying to avoid using Chad so we don't sound like incels, but it's, you know, if the shoe fits, am I right, fellas?
Put it in your stove.
But I don't even know like what exactly I'm saying when I say you're not going to like it, because I'm obviously not saying I've had wonderful conversations with men about more than surface level things, mm-hmm. you know? Life, death, philosophy, emotions.
Sure.
And it's great. It's very possible. But there seems to be this kind of like...
And that's masculinity as is.
Yeah.
So if you're...
just people.
If you want people to start meddling with that...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't... Yeah, the outcome's not going to be good.
Yeah. You got to stop trying to change people.
Right. opposites attract, right? Why are we all trying to be the same fucking thing? Yeah. And why is the assumption, how, what kind of narcissist are you that you assume that your way is the best?
Exactly.
For everybody. So there you go.
All right.
That's the end of the podcast.
That is.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.